Yes, whatever you need, God's got it. Welcome once again to Glory United Ministries. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you. And tell you, I'm so excited today. The sun is shining, the weather's warm, and we're about to hear our beloved Patricia Benjamin, Pastor Patricia Benjamin, who will be on at the completion of this song. Have mercy, hallelujah.
Amen. Everything we need, God's got it. He's got houses and land, and the world is in his hand. I tell you truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day here in the neighborhood. I like Mr. Rogers when I was a child, no matter what was going on, when Mr. Rogers came on television, he always said, "It's a lovely day in the neighborhood." And I am proud to be able to quote that same saying, "It is a lovely day in the neighborhood." Why is it such a lovely day in the neighborhood? Because God has given us this day. For it is God who sends the sunshine and the rain. It is God that causes the snow to come forward. And we thank God for Jesus right now. We know that there is much, much water in California. There are landslides and mudslides and sinkholes. A couple of people I saw in the news yesterday, their cars just dropped right down into the ground. They were able to go down and pull the cars up, and the people were dead. But I tell you, God is so merciful, and he's loving, and he's kind. And many of these things that take place on the universe, God is not in control of that. The devil has power also. The devil is able to get into the rain that God sent to do the ground, the earth, Mother Earth, some good. But the enemy gets in it and causes it to be mean, violent, vicious, and ugly. If you look at the story with Jesus, who was on the ship, that water has never been rough. That water has been nothing but just calm. That sea where they traveled was smooth sailing, but because the enemy got in the water and he caused a problem by the wind blowing fiercely and causing the water to tremble and causing the disciples on the very ship with Jesus to be frightened that they were going to be destroyed, going to be consumed. And I tell you, the disciple decided, hey, we can't die with Jesus on board. So we got to wake him up. Because all power, even though the devil has power, but all power is in Jesus. He is almighty, all powerful. And all Jesus did was just speak to the wind. And he said to the wind, he said, "Peace, be still." I tell you, it is good to know that we have a Lord that if we would just but wake him up in our situations and our circumstances, he is able to speak, "Peace, be still." I tell you, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. For I thank God for, you know, a little sleep does the body good. And I just crashed out today on the sofa. I did not feel well at all. I haven't felt completely drained like that in a very, very, very long time. But God allowed me to go to sleep. When I woke up, I still was not feeling my best. But we thank God. When there's something about the name Jesus, it is the sweetest name I know. Oh, my God, I was going to read from John's Gospel like I did last week, but when I opened my Bible, it fell on Mark, the 8th chapter, and I looked and I said, well, God, since it opened here, let's see what Mark's Gospel is talking about. All things evil, all these evil things come from within and defileth a man. Let's go back up here and read 22 of 8. Ah, look at this. Look at this. And it falls right in line. And this is not where I was going, but seeming it's that's where my eyes went to that 23rd verse. So let's go up here and let's see what 18 is talking about. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defile a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. So if you're practicing any of these, it can defile your body. It can make you unworthy to partake. Oh my God. There is nothing that enter a man from outside which can defile him, but things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. When he hath entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And I tell you, this is just beautiful. You have a Bible. That is Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel. Now, going to where the book opened, the 8th chapter of Mark. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. Oh my God. The Lord is concerned about you when you hang out in his presence. There are people that fast. Some fast one day, some do 10, some try to do 40 days. But the Lord is concerned about whether you have something for your physical body to eat. You just cannot eat spiritual food. You have to nourish your natural body, because know ye not that your body, the natural body, the physical body, the fleshly body, know you not that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So therefore, if you don't take care of the natural body, there is no place for the Holy Spirit to reside, because if you tear down your body, where can the Holy Spirit reside? Because it resides on the inside of you. But it hangs out in your body. Know ye not, the scripture said, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have to take care of our temple, our body, so that the Holy Ghost will have somewhere to rest. Oh, bless his name. So Jesus is concerned that these people have been with me 3 days. They have been following me wherever I have gone for the last 3 days. And I know physically they cannot continue to go on this way without something to eat. Oh, God is such a loving God. He sees, he knows, and he cares. He wants to make sure that if you are following Jesus, if you are following God, if you're following the master of the sea, he's not going to leave you without something to eat. He's going to have enough compassion on you to make sure that your life makes a difference. Jesus will never require of you to be following him or following after him, and he's not moved with compassion to take care of you. Be not dismayed. Oh, God, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings, his love abide. God will take care care of you. Jesus is moved by compassion, or with compassion, for those that was walking with him. Oh, somebody tell the Lord, thank you for the walk. Thank you for the walk. I know we sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. But the joy that we share as we tarry there, oh, I tell you, Jesus is moved with compassion on your behalf. No, the road is rough, the going gets tough, the hills, they even are hard to climb, but Jesus is moved with compassion. You got his attention. Oh, bless his name. Woo! My God, I'm glad he don't have whatever that stuff is called, ADHD or ABCD, however it goes, attention deficit disorder, that he can't stay focused on what's going on around him. But Jesus had a conversation with the disciples, and he said, look here, his people have not eaten in 3 days. How many of you can do that? Isn't that, oh my God, 3 days? That's 72 hours, and you've had nothing to eat. And some of you go to church for an hour, and you're ready to get out of the service because, man, I'm hungry. I got to get home and get me a bite to eat. But these people, the scripture said, 8th chapter, verse 1, in those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude. Why? He said, because I'm sure one of the disciples wanted to know, what you worried about these folk for? You know how you do. Why are you worried about them? They don't seem to be worried. They still following you. But Jesus had to let them know, because they have had nothing to eat. They've been with me. They've continued to be with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I, and if I sin them away hungry, listen to Jesus, to their own house, says, they will faint on the way. For some of them have come from afar. The Lord is concerned that you make your trip back home. The Lord cares enough to say that I want them to get back to their designated places, because if I send them away without food, knowing that they cannot make it with their physical body, or their spiritual man is fed and is riding high, they've been in the presence of the Lord. They have been with me 3 days and three nights. Oh, my God, what more can you ask more for than to be within the presence of the Lord for 3 days and three nights and have nothing to eat? But now that you're getting ready to depart from the presence of God, now the body is realizing you have not fed me in 3 days. And Jesus, knowing all things, said some of them will not make it back to their houses because they come from afar. Hey, I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, and I don't believe that it brought me this far. Oh, God, God will not bring you 3 days and three nights to leave you hungry. Hey, God, we need to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I feel my help now. I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Yes, I do. I feel like going on. Jesus is concerned about me. Yes, we have just had a new installment in the White House, but Jesus is moved with compassion for those of us that's crying out, God, have mercy. I told a woman on the other day, I said, you know, I'm not Catholic, I'm Kojic. I'm Pentecostal. But I said to the woman, I said, I had a patient that I would bring to his mass on Saturdays at 5 o'clock in the evening for the mass, and I would bring him, and many times I sat with him through the service, and I said, I really like the way that the Catholic, where the priest would say, God, this, let me just put it in my word, God is able, and they would go on to say, Lord, have mercy. And the priest would say something else he would read, and then they would say, Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy. And every time the priest would say something, one of the response would be, God, have mercy, or Lord, have mercy. And I said, I like that. And that's what he does. He is moved with compassion. He has mercy upon the people that's been following him. And he's doing the same thing for you and for me. He's having mercy. He's moved with compassion. He won't let us be destroyed for a lack of food. He will not let us be lost for lack of misunderstanding of just how great God is. God is my all and all. God is the joy and the strength of my life. Oh, my God, he moves all pain, misery, and strife. You better tell the Lord, thank you, because he's moved with compassion. Oh, I feel good. You all know what happens. I get excited. There is a song. It's a secular song. I get excited. I'm so excited. Whatever. I can't remember the song, but they used to sing it. I'm so excited. And I am excited. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people? You always got some smart mouth jigs in the crowd. How did you see all these people, Jesus? How in the world can you satisfy? You got all these people here, a multitude, many, many, many people here, and you talking about feeding these folks with natural food? I could see, Jesus, if you were feeding them with spiritual food, because, hey, you never run out of spiritual food for the folk. That just continues like a well springing up in you. It just goes over and over and over and over again. But you talking about bread, feeding all these people? Come on, Jesus. I think you have done a little too much fasting here, and you've grown weak. If you think, let's read the book. It'll tell you what happened. Satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness. Come on, that's a question they're asking Jesus. They're questioning Jesus. Folks say you can't question God. The devil is a liar. The disciples question Jesus. You have a right to ask your Father, Lord, what's going on? Marvin Gaye made the song, Tell Me What's Going On. He wanted to know what's going on. Well, the disciples did it before Marvin Gaye. Maybe that's where Marvin got the idea from, to ask the question, what's going on? Because the disciples saying to Jesus, what's up? What's up with you, Jesus of Nazareth? What are you trying to prove? Come on here. But you see, things never look right when you're looking from the natural man's eyes. But Jesus, being spirit, he sees in the spirit, and he knows what he's capable of. He knows what his Father had bestowed upon him. He knows the qualification within himself that his Father had given him, that he can feed the multitude with. Let's read the book. I'm almost finished. Almost done. Yes, Lord. He asked them, Jesus asked them, he asked them, how many loaves do you have? Now, see, the question has switched from them asking Jesus. Now, Jesus is asking them, how many loaves do you have? As if he didn't know, because he knows all things. But he wanted to get them to say what they had. Mm-hmm. How many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and gave thanks. Remember that whatever God has given you, always give thanks. Because thanks multiplies what you have in your hand. God bless you with $500. You give thanks over that $500. Lord, I thank you for the $500. Lord, I thank you for the $200. Even if it's a loan, you still tell God thank you, because the person didn't have to do it, or they could. The person you asked for the loan, sometimes they just didn't have it. Excuse me. So you give thanks. That's what Jesus did. Are we greater than the master? No. So the word of God says here that he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to sit them also before them. So they are and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. Somebody needs to know that God will give you an increase, so much so that there are leftovers out of the little bit. Little becomes much when you place it in the master hand. If you would look at my life and the finances that I have dealt with, you would, someone who really doesn't trust the Lord or know the Lord in the way that who he really is, would say, I don't know how you got over. I don't know how you made ends meet. I don't know how you did it with such little bit, but I'm reminded of the widow woman who had just a hand full of meal. And when she gave God his first, meaning the prophet who represented God, when she made the cake for Elijah and gave him his first, the scripture says the meal barrel never ran out. If you're not putting God first with your substance, God has blessed you to get a Social Security check or SSI check or whatever kind of check you're getting, a retirement check of some kind, whatever, child support, and all of those things, then you need to put God first with that finance. And I tell you, there's some windows in heaven that God will just open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God will open, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God will open up the windows of heaven, and he'll pour you out a blessing. God will open, he'll open up the windows of heaven, and he'll pour you out a blessing. You may not have room to receive it. Ooh, I love the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Oh, God, you know, I get excited, and then I lose my place. My God in heaven, I'm almost finished. God will give you leftovers that won't spoil, because the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Oh, let's read verse 9, and it says, now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. After you get your blessing, go on now. Don't hang out. Go on home. You got your own house. Go on home now. The Lord has fed you spiritually and naturally. Now go home. Don't keep hanging around. He's done with that. Scripture said the spirit don't thrive with men always. So now go on, because he has taken care of you physically and spiritually. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Immediately, got into the boat with his disciples and came to the regions of Dalmanutha. Anyhow, he got in the boat immediately. When Jesus had done what he needed to do for the multitude, he left. So it was no need for you to stay there around the mountain or the rivers or wherever you were or are. When Jesus has done what he needs to do for you, two things need to take place. You need to move on, because Jesus is going on. Because if you read that 10th verse, it says, and I'm done. If you read that 10th verse, it says immediately, and you know I'm reading from my new Spirit-filled Bible, so it may read a little different from King James Bible, but Jesus immediately, when he was done with feeding the people, and there was leftovers, the disciples took up the leftovers, Jesus immediately hit the boat. Jesus took to the water, because he had to go somewhere else and be doing something else. I've closed my Bible, but let me open my Bible back up for a minute, Dr. Scott, because I need to see something here before I completely close that down. He went on from there. After Jesus got in the boat and was on his way, the Pharisees came seeking a sign. So you see, just because Jesus had done a work over here with them doesn't mean that he had retired, because someone else needed to have a conversation with him. The Pharisees, they came seeking a sign. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeing from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? What is wrong with these folks? Why are they seeking a sign? Jesus saw this, and that's the problem with some of us. We can't see when wickedness is around us. We can't see that folks trying to trip us up. We can't see that these folks don't mean us any good. They mean us more harm than good. If, you know, it's just terrible, because Jesus, look, now he had ministered to the
the folk and gave them something to eat. Now here come these jackrabbits. Here they talking about, we need a sign from heaven. I need a sign. I need a sign from heaven. Testing him. Trying to see if Jesus is Jesus. Trying to see. John P. Key had the song, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Yes, he does. He said, I know he is. And then he goes, for I know Jesus is real. And then he gets into the song and he said, he's real. The Lord is so real. He is. He is. The Lord is so real. Now, because he's real, my God, I'm trying to start another sermon, Dr. Scott. I'm finished. Oh, bless his name. Yes, Lord. He said, now, look, here they come. But let's go back to the 12th verse. Ah, Lord, he says, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. The Pharisees come trying to test Jesus. You can't test the Lord because he is the Lord. He's great. He's greater than you will ever be. You may think you somebody, and that's good for you to think that. But don't ever think that you're the Lord or that you're on the same page with the Lord, because that can't work. That's what happened to the devil. And I'm afraid that if you allow that to happen to you, where you think that you is as good as God is, then you're going to end up like the devil. The devil's residence, is his address is hell, H-E-L-L. And that's a place where you don't want to be lifting up your eyes in hell, because you thought you knew as much about God as God knows about himself. Humble yourself under the hand of the Lord. Don't ever think you got the upper hand on Jesus, because, honey, he knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows your thoughts before your thoughts even enter into your brain and trickle down to where your mind can let you know what you're thinking about. Jesus already knows what your thoughts are. But what we don't know a lot of times is what his thought is concerning us. Well, he did tell you that his thoughts concerning you is of good and not of evil. So no evil is coming from the Lord. The flood that's destroying stuff out in California, remember he said he will not destroy his earth with water anymore. He will not do that to Mother Earth, put all that water on her. He said, but I will destroy the earth with fire. Now, when you see fire coming down from the sky, you better hurry up. And know your Jesus. So that if the fire comes down and consume you, you don't even have to worry about it, because you got a brand new body in heaven with the Lord. So burn up this one here on the earth, because my new body is in heaven. And you know what? Can't touch this. Can't touch it. So it's all good. I tell you, it's been a pleasure being on board with the saints of God one more time. It feels good. I feel better. I just feel better. I really feel so much better. Since I laid my burdens down, I tell you, the body have need of things, and if it doesn't get it, it will let you know. I heard a preacher say to me once, God will forgive us for what we do to the body, but the body won't always forgive us for what we have done to it. And he died shortly after he made that statement to me. He and I were very close friends. He was my friend. He was a pastor. And he is, oh man, I'm telling you, he would sit down for hours and just teach me different things out of the Bible, and he would just be full of the word of God. And he said, well, you know, Plup, he called me Plup. He said, you know, Plup, he said, the Bible said this and the Bible said that. And he would just go on. Something bad happened on the news, and he would say to me, he said, girl, didn't the Bible say so and so and so? He was full of the word of God. But the last thing that he left with me before he died on this earth, he said, God will forgive us for what we have done, but our bodies will not always forgive us. And he died of a disease that was incurable. And now that after he passed away, then I understood his saying that God will forgive us, but our body won't. So take care of the body, knowing that it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I told you all last week where I was coming from. I'm like the commercial. I'm stuck on Band-Aid because Band-Aid is stuck on me. I'm stuck on sugar because sugar is stuck on me. My cousin and I was talking yesterday, and she said, you know, Patty, I just got to have something sweet. I said, girl, grandma did this to us. Because at our grandmother's house, I don't care what day of the week you went there, you could leave out with something sweet in your hand. And when the cake ran out on Wednesday, if grandma thought that cake, Lord, there's about 3 slices of cake left in there. She said, let me go in this kitchen and stir up something, because the children is coming. And she said, my husband, my grandfather, loved sweets. He had so much Kool-Aid with the sugar in his Kool-Aid. You could see the sugar standing up in the bottom of the pitcher. But Granddaddy wanted that sugar, that Kool-Aid, syrupy sweet. Oh, my God. And they just gave us sweets and sweets and sweets. But so far this year, I'm doing good. I haven't made but one pie, I believe. Well, no, I made two. I made a lemon chiffon pie for a friend, and I had a sample left over, and I ate the sample. And then I made an apple pie for a dear friend, and I just asked for just a little sliver of that. But I have not been making pound cakes and chocolate cakes and banana cakes and all kinds of cakes and blueberry pie and cherry pie, all that stuff. I said, Lord, if I don't make it, I won't eat it. Because I didn't mind eating my pound cake by myself. I eat the whole cake, not at one time now, y'all. Come on here. But I'd eat it up within a week's time. I just kept getting a slice, kept getting a slice. After a while, I sliced the last slice. But to God be the glory, we're in church and we have fun. So I just want you to know, be mindful if you're listening to the broadcast on Thursday. Be mindful that on the 28th of February, which is a Tuesday, at 7 p.m., we have a special service, and our revivalist for that night, our speaker is Pastor Ruby Handy. She's an apostle, just been elevated to an apostle. She's an overseer. She has several churches under her reign. She has several ministries, and one in Texas there, and California, and Philadelphia, and there was somewhere else that she named. So to God be the glory. I met her, and she's going to be my speaker. So set your dial, ma'am, sir, and listen to the great Ruby Handy out of Texas. So, Dr. Scott, there's no more need to be said. I am going to shut down this broadcast and tell God thank you for all that he has done. Remember, he's moved with compassion on your behalf. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God, say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Benjamin. And I want you to know we thank you for all your prayers and concerns for each and all of us. In this moment, we ask God to remove from you any manifestation, any affliction, anything that's troubling your spirit, your heart, or your body, and restore you and keep you in that heavenly kingdom, which is your rightful, where you rightfully belong. And in honor of your great and spectacular sermon, once again, it's going to give you a few words, and you'll recognize the singer, because I'm going to tell you, Pastor Benjamin, Jesus is real.
Put your hands together, you know God is real.
Yeah.